Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
For me, what I love about this season, and like all seasons, but this season, it's a season of reflection. You know, we think about the gifts that we give each other, but then I think about the greatest gift that was given in Jesus. But I also take the time to reflect on the gift of you, Pneuma Melbourne West. You know, for us this year, as we reflect 2023, 5 years in leading this church, you know, we first planted, we had no idea there was going to be a COVID. We were about 15 Ks that way in a university hall in St. Albans, and went from there to lockdown to Laverton nights and now Laverton mornings. And for me, the greatest gift that Jesus has given us is each and every one of you. Whether you play a big part or a small part, whether you've been here for a day, for 5 years, whatever it looks like, we just want you to know. And this is off topic. I had something else, but Neil and Jane already announced that part. But just want to honor each and every one of you. You know, we're that much taller because of you. We're that much more in love with God because of each and every one of you. So can you just give yourselves a round of applause? Even if you're new, you give yourself a round of applause.
Hayden, when you come,
you know, let's just pray right now. And even as we pray, we sang that song, Come and Behold Him. And even in worship, the Lord gave me a very simple word personally, which I believe is for each and every one of us. What we behold, we become. If we behold fear and anxiety, we become fear and afraid and anxious. If we behold anger, we become judgmental and we condemn others. But when we behold the Son of God, the Bible tells us that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. What we behold, we become. So Lord, as we come today, Lord, let us always behold your goodness and your grace. Let us always behold the wonder of your majesty, the splendor of who you are, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And that, Father, as we behold the goodness of the gift that is Jesus, that we too would be sons and daughters of the Most High. So, Lord, I pray that you bless this word, Father. May it not be my words, but yours. May they be seeds, Lord, that are planted in the depths of our hearts, Father, that would shape our identity in you. And may we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, yeah, let's give God praise on that, yeah. Hey, can I encourage us? You know, we may not have family lunch for the next month or so. And the heart behind it is we see biblically as well. You know, we have a Sabbath. There's a season to eat today, tonight. I mean, my jeans are already tight. We haven't even gotten to the turkey yet. We're in trouble. But there's also a season of rest. But can I encourage each and every one of us, if there's someone that you haven't seen for a while, perhaps someone you met, never underestimate the power of a text message. Never underestimate the power of thinking of you, what that can do in someone's life. Amen. Awesome. Well, the title of my message today, I want to speak on the subject of the one for all. You know, as we reflect, and I've personally reflected on 2023, and, you know, it's been a year of highs and lows for many of us. And at the start of the year to now, you know, these last couple of months have been a few lows for us personally, physically, with health, you know, and we've, as you know, location passes, we've seen the answered prayers. We are seeing the prayers that are currently in progress to being answered. You know, the highs and the lows. But the beauty of it is that as life goes like this, there is one thing that remains constant, and his name is Jesus. And he is the center of what we do. It's about what we celebrate today. And so for context, I just want to read the scripture in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. This isn't my main scripture, but it just sets the scene for what I want to speak into today. And so we read here, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. Sorry if I butchered that name. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So when we think about the context, the anticipation of this moment, the people anticipating the Lord to come with the bells, the whistles, the lights, the platform to come on in, but quietly in a little manger in a town of Bethlehem, oblivious to the world around them, was born the Son of God. That's who Jesus was. That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus will always be. Born in humble circumstances. But it's funny, as I was preparing for the message today, you know, initially, okay, that's what I'm going to preach on. But the Lord's like, no, where He's leading us is straight after, to focus on the first group of people. See, this moment took place. And in the day where there wasn't Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is, it's a social media thing of the day, was a moment where the announcement had to be made. And it tells you a lot about God's character, the very heart of God, on who the first people were to find out. So we're going to just cross over Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And you will appear on the screen behind me. It says, "Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." You know, the arrival of the Son of God, like I mentioned before, was not how many would have expected or anticipated. And yet here Luke gives an illustration and a beautiful illustration of who God had on his mind to be the first to know of this arrival. And so the very first thing that we see in this scripture that it shows and demonstrates to us is that God values a person over a status. Let me say that again. God values a person over a status. See, the shepherds, they were considered in this time of day, they were considered as less important. They were considered as ceremoniously unclean because here they were out in the fields smelling like poopy and sheep, right? They were smelling. They were not welcome into the temple. And yet here the scholars suggest that these very shepherds were looking after the very lambs and sheep that would be offered as sacrifices on behalf of the people. So they were tending to the sheep that would then go to the priest who on behalf of the people would sacrifice that lamb to atone for the sins of man. You know, I love that the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, was announced to those that were looking after those that would be the sacrifice. Almost like God saying, we'll take it from here. But I love that the value on that is that the full glory of God came to those that were seen as insignificant or not valid in class in that day. Yet these people, these shepherds, they were diligent all night. They would look after and in that secret place would work. We even read, you know, David, whom Jesus was from the lineage of. David in 1 Samuel 16, while the sons were there being looked at who was the greatest, David was in the field tending to sheep, looking after them, praising and worshiping God. See, God doesn't just look at what we do in a church service, but we can access God wherever it is that we are. Some of us might feel like we're not seen or heard, but let me tell you, the power of God will happen in a place like this when the lights and cameras are on, but will also happen in your house where you are in your workplace as you're diligent with what you do. You know, your status doesn't matter in the eyes of God. God doesn't come and look at how religious you are. Notice that the angels, they appeared in a field and not the temple. where the religious were there doing what they had to do every single day, every single week, the angels didn't even bother going there. They went to the field. And I think some of us need to hear that, because God's view of you is not dependent how many church services you come to in a year. God's view is, are you willing to respond when He comes to you where you are? And so we see here another beautiful thing about who God is. Notice that the glory of God through His angels came to the shepherds, didn't expect them to come to Him. And I love that His glory shone on them. He didn't tell them, hey, lads, go and have a shower because you guys smell. Then my glory will come. No, wherever they were. You know, I feel like, again, I'm going to be going off my notes a lot here. I've got some guide here, but I feel like the Lord just will prompt as we go along. You know, there are some of us that feel unworthy and unclean and feel like we can never change. And the reality is we can't change. It's Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross, that sets us free. But the fact that you've walked through these doors today, the Lord sees you. And today is the day of confirmation. The Lord sees you and He loves you as you are, but He is going to change who He calls you to be and release you as He says you are. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on. It's fascinating that for the shepherds, their response, and rightly so, right? Their response was fear. You know, I can imagine myself being in a situation like that and you know, being in the dark and having whatever it is, the moon lighting, whatever it is, all of a sudden, the glory of God coming. It'd be enough to freak us out. The reality is that the glory is overwhelming. And so for the shepherds, when you think about what society had labeled them, that naturally for them, the question would be, why would a perfect God come to seemingly unimportant people like us in the field? Some of us can relate to the shepherds in that. Why would God use insert where you're at in your walk with God in your life? Why would God come to someone like me? Let me tell you why. Because in Genesis 1:26, it says that you were created in His image. You are the imago Dei, the image bearers of God. I'll tell you why. Because when He sees you, He doesn't see what you see in the mirror. He sees who He created. Psalm 139, He formed you in your mother's womb. When He sees you, He doesn't see your circumstance. He sees your triumph. This is the good news, church. And I believe that today it's going to shake some of us up that have fallen for the trap of religion, which is about judging and condemning. Like somehow God gave us the status to go and say, who is welcome to come through these doors? When actually, no, God gave us Jesus to redeem and to set free. You know, the glory is not reserved for the religious elitists. You know, because Pastor Sonia and I have said yes to leading a location, we don't get more portion of the glory of God because we have a title. No, that glory is for all. It's for you today. There will be an opportunity for you to receive that gift today. And so there is a significance in God choosing the lowly for the good news. Is this helping anybody this morning on Christmas Eve? Come on. The shepherds would have been incredibly taken aback by this moment. That feeling of insignificance led to fear. What could the meaning of this impromptu visit mean? It was at that moment that the angel informed them that they would play such a significant part in God's narrative. That is, that they were entrusted to bear the good news for all. You know, I love the response of the angels. You know, what we read in verse 10 is, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings, tidings of joy." And what I love about this good news, these tidings, this joy is not for some, but it's for all, for every single person. In the context of this day, that was for the man and the woman. That was for the Jew and the Gentile. That was for the slave and the free, for all. The good tidings, breaking the religious order of the day in that moment of time, is something that carries thousands of years up until this point, that the good news is for all. You know, the good tidings is translated into good news, which is translated into the gospel. So let me encourage you. When we tell people about God, let's have a smile on our face, because God is good. God is great. Let's think about what God did in these moments through Jesus' life when we share the good news of the gospel. He came to set free, not to point out chains on people. You know, John 3, and Neil read John 3:16 before, and it goes on to verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What I love again is that emphasis on for all. Whether a shepherd, a leader, a priest, a believer, an unbeliever, a stay-at-home mum, a full-time working mum or dad, an immigrant, an Aussie, whatever it is that you identify yourself as, you fall under the category of all. This good news is for you today. You know, there's that cheesy, whatever, you better not laugh, better not cry. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows who's naughty and nice. Can I tell you, my Jesus loves you whether you're naughty or nice. No lumps of coal, but an eternity in heaven. So whether you feel that the decisions you make are good or bad, this gift came irrespective of what you decide to do or not do. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Whether you once believed and you're here today because you know what, it's just what we do. God loves you. And it's no longer about being afraid. Do not be afraid. But today is a day of joy. Today is a day to rejoice. The day had come that Christ the Savior was born. The day that they had all waited for had finally come. And yet here we find the baby in a manger, a humble beginning, became the sacrifice to set us free. You know, John 8:36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The reality is, on this night, there would have been many babies that were born all across Bethlehem, but only one was in a manger, and he was the Prince of Peace. You know, I feel like just reminding even some of us in this moment, the glory of God is in the multitudes and the crowds, but the glory of God is also in the manger when there's just few around. God sees you. Some of you might be feeling in this season, and you know it's a hard season, feeling like you're all alone. But let me tell you, Son of God, Jesus Christ, was born in a place where no one else could see where he was. But Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. And the arrival of Jesus, you know, when it comes, it's good news. It brings hope to humanity and was the gift needed to free us from sin. The gift of Jesus is one that can be received by all because it's not been sent to condemn but to call up. And such a response to this gift. See, many of us can think, well, what? I need to just pay my penance. It's often something that you may hear that I've got to do to pay back. But let me tell you, the simple response to paying back what God did, we can never pay him back on our own terms. But what we can do is we can praise and rejoice. See, verses 13 and 14, it tells us that heaven rejoices. And I love that the multitude of heavenly hosts, it talks about the angels, the very armies of heaven came. And I love the great paradox of this, that the army's cries was that of peace, not of war. Of hope and joy, not judgment and condemnation. From a posture of praise, not a posture of entitlement. You know, the posture of praise, like it says here in the verse, comes with a proclamation. The angels came proclaiming the very heart of God, which is glory, peace, and goodwill. You know, this is why repentance is something that's so beautifully significant. You know, repentance is a word that can often strike a bit of fear in people. It can be a heavy word. Repent, you know, and in a sense, yes, it's challenging. It challenges our heart posture. But in its simple definition, dictionary.com defines it as deep sorrow, compunction, or contrition for a past sin, wrongdoing, or the like. But I love the way that the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary defines repentance. Change of mind. It also can refer to regret or remorse accompanying a realization that wrong has been done, or to any shift of reversal of thought. In its biblical sense, repentance refers to a deeply seated and thorough turning from self to God. It occurs when a radical turning to God takes place, an experience in which God is recognized as the most important fact of one's existence. It's where it says, I can't do it on my own, God. I turn to you. I need you. You know, there's a. I'm trying to keep up with the lingo of all the cool kids. And one of the things, I don't know why I looked at Rue, he's my age, but yeah, you're one of the cool kids, Rue. Not that I've ever heard you say this. Maybe Ash has a couple of times. But I don't know if you've heard this saying, keeping receipts. Has anyone heard that saying? And before my dad starts saying, yeah, I've kept my receipts for the tax man, it doesn't mean literally what you've purchased and bought. It literally means to keep score. Ha, I'll keep receipts. And often we think that God does that. That God keeps receipts. Ah, you want to repent to me now, do you? Do you remember that time, you know, in 2000 and this, when you did this and you did that and you did that? In that moment, what repentance means is that when you turn to God, God's like, what have you been waiting for? I've been here the whole time. God doesn't keep receipts, church. We do. But can I tell you, I believe that this is going to set people free today. The Lord is the one that will vindicate. We lay down the crowns at the feet of Jesus. We lay down the crowns of needing to know, the crowns of pride, of bitterness, anger, whatever it is that we put on our head. We lay that down. We fall down at the feet of Jesus. And so here we find ourselves, the angel's praise and proclamation, and then that follows with an invitation for the shepherds to come. And that what that did was reaffirm that their presence at the manger was both welcome and encouraged. Jesus is here now. He continues to welcome all to come and see, but an invitation is just an invitation. See, the next step does require us to do one thing, or two things, I guess. It's sort of an action and reaction, and that's to accept and respond. See, the invitation is there. I can invite you to come to a birthday party, but I can't make you come to the birthday party. I can invite you to walk through the doors and come and taste and see. And, you know, for Christmas, Mum makes the best turkey ever. And I can invite you to come and taste and see. And I'm going to indulge and I'm going to eat it. But unless you walk through those doors and come, get yourself a plate and fill it up and eat it, you're not going to fully understand. Yeah. It's just going to be an invite. Yeah. And so in verses 15 to 19, won't read them all again, but the shepherds heard, just like you're hearing today, and they responded to go and see for themselves. They went with haste. See, what I love, and again, the scripture doesn't articulate this, but I can imagine after receiving the news from the angels, you know, that they were invited. I believe personally in my heart that their self-perception, their reputation, their doubts, their fears, their anxieties, their bitterness, their judgment, all that would have just dropped off for them to go in that moment of time. And so they went. If you're yet to make a decision to follow Jesus, what are you waiting for? And here they get there, and they get there and they see this babe in a manger, and it was just as the angels foretold. And so when they saw that, they acknowledged by sharing what they heard. Church, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, if you've made a decision, you've encountered the glory, the power, the presence of God, this is what sharing the good news is. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know and who you show. I can tell you the level of intimacy with God by how you reflect His word to me. Because His word brings hope. The whole Bible can be summed up in the scripture that Neil read. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. If all we preach is everlasting condemnation and damnation, we're not preaching the gospel, church. We're just becoming judge, jury, and executioners. But when you come out there and you invite people to come and see the goodness of God and you share what God, hey, this was my story. This is what God did in my life. There was a moment that I was lost, but now I'm found. It was in these moments of the depth of despair where I encountered a loving God who, even though despite my many iniquities, loved me enough to say, hey, come to me. All those who are weary and burdened, one, I'll give you rest. Come to me and with all your thoughts and your prayers and I'll show you great mysteries that you do not know about, and encourage me and receive me all alike. This is what the shepherds did. They were proclaiming a history-changing moment. Hey, I can only imagine how that conversation took place as you're hearing the moos, the baas, the neighs, and the cries of a babe. They were there. Hey, we were just doing our daily job. We were doing what we do every single night, and all of a sudden, we encountered an angel, the presence of God, who told us that we were worthy enough to come and see the Son of God. And if God can invite us, what can he do to you? I can just picture that. I'm a very visual reader. When I read it, I immerse myself in that. And I think, wow, how exciting. I can't contain myself in these shoes to think, wow, that God would choose people, shepherds, people like us to come and see for ourselves the Son of God. Yeah. So again, I ask, what are we waiting for? And so when they shared, notice, maybe these shepherds may have been educated somewhat in theology, but they shared their story and all marveled at their testimony. You know, I love what it said in verse 19. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, I think it was Rue shared this in devotion this morning. We look at it now as this beautiful, itsy bitsy little, almost like a fairy tale and this cute encounter. Let me tell you, you know, in that moment when you read and you actually read the scriptures on how Mary would have responded, basically for her, she encounters an angel, you know, as a late teenager who tells her that she's going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and she's going to give birth to a son and call him Jesus. He's going to be the hope of humanity. But she's like, I'm engaged. Like, you know, I don't know if this is, it's almost like the early Jerry Springer opportunities. Those that remember those moments where it's like, how am I going to explain? No, but it's the Son of God. It was God to someone who's grown up in the lineage of David. It was overwhelming, but yet here she was, seeing it all play out and seeing this son that God chose her, a young teenage girl, to carry the Son of God. Man, that's overwhelming. To be there in that moment and think, wow, Lord, what you spoke has come to pass. She pondered that and treasured it in her heart. You know, for those of us that have encountered God, it's important for us to ponder those moments in our heart, to treasure those moments in our heart. Yes, today may be a blessing and tomorrow might be a struggle, but the gift, the one for all, that moment, that one that has been constant all our lives, the things that he has done in your life, the times that he has provided in your life, the times of breakthrough in your life, the things that you have seen, let us ponder that. On days like today, when we think about 2,000 years ago, he didn't have to, but he chose to. That today, as we open those gifts, we can also think that our eternity, our salvation is sorted. But more than that, we are children of God. We ponder that in our hearts and say, thank you, Lord. We treasure that. That's testimony. And all are invited. All are welcome. Church, today is a day to rejoice and to receive. You know, the beautiful thing about this day of remembrance is that the gift of Jesus is actually not just a one-day event, but it's a life-transforming moment that impacts us in our everyday lives. When you are set free, there is no looking back, as your life is filled with God's purposes, meaning that life will never be the same again. I'm going to invite the band to come up. I might just get, actually, Fiona, can you just switch on the aircon for like a couple of minutes, because my glasses are starting to fog up a little bit. It gets warm in here. We could say it's the fire of the Holy Spirit or it's the barbecue I ate yesterday, I don't know. But anyway, so here we read verse 20, we read, the shepherds returned. They went back to where they were when they came from. The reality is, and this can make a lot of people afraid, you receiving Jesus doesn't mean tomorrow you're the preacher on the steps of Flinders Street or Newman Melbourne West or Newman City. You're not the preacher the next day. Your platform is where you return, where God sends you. That's your platform. Church is not the ultimate. Church is a part where the family comes together to worship God. But where you go, your workplace, your home, whatever it looks like, that's your platform of influence. And again, going off notes here, you know, again, what we see about what I just shared in terms of a life-transforming moment, I feel someone needs to hear this today. Matthew 3:16-21, he talks about Jesus before he did anything that was recorded in ministry, in the annals of the gospel. Father said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. See, the greatest gift of Jesus is that we no longer need to atone. We no longer need to perform. But God's approval is given to us, so we get to live our life from the approval of God, not for it. Many of us are living a life trying to get God's approval. But here he is saying, I'm already proud of you. I already sent Jesus for you. You don't need to make it up for yourself. I love you just as you are, but I know that as you encounter me, you'll never be the same again. That's what the good news is. That's what the birth and arrival of Jesus did. See, the shepherds were looking after sheep that would be killed and slaughtered because we had to, and what would happen is, and again, don't have time to get into that, but the temple would become a marketplace. How much money you got? If you pay more and you get a lamb, God's going to forgive all your sins. If you just get a pigeon, you get partly sin forgiven. They turned it into an entrepreneur moment, but God's like, wait a second, no. For me, when that moment, it is finished on the cross, is done. There is nothing you can pay that can compensate God, yet he gave it freely. That's what grace is. So where you return, that's your platform. You know, I remember there was once a point in time. Ironically enough, it was when the location was a bit bigger when we were in St. Albans. But I used to always look at the numbers. But I remember one moment in COVID. I love how beautiful the Holy Spirit is. You know, I remember, and I share this with you because it's a reminder of God's goodness. We just come out of COVID, right? This is first COVID. You know, March 2020 is when it all happened. I still remember the last service we had before COVID. We had about 220 odd people in the service. And I remember coming into December, and I remember in that moment thinking, so many people are going to be hungry for God. We couldn't go back to St. Albans, so we had to be creative, and we're at City location on a Saturday night. So we called it West Coast City on a Saturday night. Very original, clearly. And I remember telling, you know, our core team at the time, now we've got a fivefold team. I remember telling Sonia, oh man, oh, we're going to have to hold them all back at the door because they're going to come hungry for God because they've been wanting to get in his presence for 10 months. 32 people came that night. Most of them were volunteers. And of the 20 that were volunteers, of the 12 that came, 7 of them were from City because they just couldn't be bothered going on a Sunday morning. And they were quite honest about that. If you're listening, God bless you. And I remember going home crying, thinking, what's the point? And then the Holy Spirit lovingly said to me, how do you change the world? Well, that's a good question, Lord. One life at a time. One life at a time. One disciple at a time. Notice how Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Not go and run big services. This is what I needed to hear. And then the Lord reminded me of my testimony back in April 2006 in a room full of 10 people with one guitar player singing the song, I Need You More. I never want to go back to my old life. In a moment where I hated who I'd become, I had lived a life where I found my identity. What I beholded was what I became. I wanted to be the person that everyone thought was funny, so I would get drunk so people could laugh at me so I could be that person. That's what I would do. And the Lord reminded me in that moment, I see you. And I'll never forget where he said, don't look left, don't look right, don't look back, look at the cross in that room of 10 people. When you look left, people will let you down. When you look right, you will never add up. When you look back, the devil will tell you that I could never, ever use you. But when you look at the cross, you find identity, hope, freedom, love, grace, redemption. And from that moment, I've not looked back. So for me, every Sunday when I come, every person that I meet, it's okay, Lord, how can I sow? Sorry, I'm not crying. This sweat got in my eye and it's burning my eye. That's probably thinking, oh, that's a new one. He's cutting onions. Feels like it, but. Wynn, thank you so much. I might cry in a few minutes. The gift affirms your value in God. I love what Neil shared before. You know, about the significance of the gift. Like, you know, we receive it freely. But it tells you a lot about the giver. I was sharing this story with someone before, and I don't think it was their intention, but it was hilarious. I remember where I used to work in council, we had the Kris Kringle, and the whole idea, this poor person didn't get the memo, right? But the whole idea was get gifts that you don't want. That was, I don't know why that was the theme. I got a massage voucher for those like dodgy ones in the shopping centers where somehow I didn't have a neck issue, but I leave with a neck issue. I don't know why. But I remember there was one girl in there who was a student and she opened hers. She wasn't aware of what we were doing. And someone thought it'd be a good idea just to get a bauble off the tree in the foyer. This really just hideous red looking poor lonely bauble. And when she saw that, she broke down crying. She felt already like she was not, you know, cared for, loved. And I remember, you know, when I gave her my gift, and she thought it was out of sympathy and like, no, I just don't want the back issues. But even within that, you know, it teaches us that many of us, what we want to do, we want to receive is the validation. Often we look for it in other people. But our God doesn't give us a dodgy old bauble from a foyer tree. He gave the very best of Himself for you. It wasn't a re-gift. Not that there's anything wrong with re-gift. So if you're re-gifting, you're not condemned today in Jesus' name. But God didn't give you scraps. He gave you the best. Not because of what you could give Him, but because you're worth it in His eyes. And that's what the gift is about. That's what the one for all is about. And so like the angels, the shepherds went back and they praised and they glorified God. There's no going back from an encounter like this. See, the good news, Christmas is not just a moment, but it lasts a lifetime. Today is a great day because Jesus' birth changed the trajectory of our future. No longer condemned, but made alive. The Holy Spirit gave me this beautiful line. I can't take credit for it, it's all Him. His arrival means our revival. All we talk about this year, the season of revival, it's not possible without His arrival. The hope for humanity is in this place. The gift of His life is your salvation. I'm going to invite you to be upstanding. Lord, we thank You, God, that today we come to honor You, to lavish You. You know, even as I pray right now, I'm going to pray for a few groups in a moment. Do you know that the very word worship, broken down into its simple root words, is attributing worth to something? So when we worship God, we give what we esteem, the worth of Him, to Him. But do you know that in His loving reverence and worship, He esteemed His love for His creation by giving the best of Himself? So whenever we struggle with the idea of worship, John 3:16 tells you that. You attribute what's the worth of something to someone. And God attributed His worth in His Son to you, to me. I love the way that Chris Valentin puts it, that the Son of God became the Son of Man so that sons of men would become sons of God. Not to be God, that's very different. None of us, you don't want to do that, but to be a son, to be a child, love the way that Ru put it before, means access. Doesn't mean ATM. That's the other thing I want to break as I pray. It doesn't mean that I get whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want it. My kids try that all the time, and you know what? It's a generational thing. I tried it all the time, and my parents too. But it also means that a father will give what's best. A mother will give what's best. Heavenly Father gives what's best. And again, I feel the Lord leading this way because I feel that there are some of us that still lead with the question of why would God allow insert whatever it happens? And I always give this analogy. And again, COVID taught me a lot of lessons. You know, when it's like, why didn't God stop? You know, my child comes and this hasn't happened, so please no one report me. This never happened. But I always give the analogy. If I've got the oven on, I can't physically force my children not to touch it if they want to touch it, but I will tell them, children, don't touch it because you'll burn yourself. It will hurt. It will leave a mark. It will leave a scar. Don't touch it. Kids, but I want to touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. But what freedom, when we talk about freedom, is a responsibility. You're advised, but the choice that you make is up to you. God's not going to infiltrate and make you do or not do things. That's dictatorship. That's manipulation. That's not the gospel. Because God gave, God wasn't forced. But then let's just say, right, the kids go and they touch that oven and they come back burnt and in tears. Many of us have touched the metaphorical oven and we think because somewhere, somehow, someone told us that theology is that God will chastise you for doing that and will punish you and say, I told you, you're rotten, whatever it is. But grace is holding them in their arms, holding them in His arms. Oh, my baby, I didn't want you to go through that. But I'm here. I'm here. It's like when my children hurt themselves, I don't exacerbate the hurt by slapping them on the head and say, I told you, you'd never listen. knows, this is why I told you to be careful, because I didn't want you to have to go through that pain. But as my child, I am here and I hold you. There are some of us that are still dealing with the marks of being burnt, whatever that looks like. But the Lord doesn't condemn you for that choice. Wounds do heal. Scars may be there, but they will be a reminder that even after that, God received me. Someone invite all heads to be bowed and eyes to be closed. When we talk about the greatest gift, He made the first move. And so what we love to do every week is, just like the angels invited the shepherds to come and see, we invite people to make a decision to respond to the call of the Lord for them to come and see. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe with your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. First believe, then receive.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.